Welcome to the Ask the Experts show, where the experts offer you educational information from local experts in the field of legal health, financial, and home improvement. Join us every week at this time for great educational information from lawyers, doctors, contractors, and specialists in their field. Sit back and enjoy the next hour of Ask the Experts.
And welcome to Ask the Experts. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, Dr. Mark Levin of EOS Dental Sleep. You are a doctor of dental medicine, and welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
It's good to have you here. So let's get started right away with, tell us about EOS Dental Sleep.
So EOS Dental Sleep, it's a dental sleep medicine practice where we focus on the treatment of snoring and sleep apnea with alternatives to the use of CPAP, that face mask. The name EOS itself comes from Greek mythology. Eos was the goddess of the dawn.
Oh, so Eos Dental Sleep. And when I think about dentistry and sleep apnea, it's a surprise. Tell us first, what is sleep apnea?
Okay, sleep apnea is a condition. It's fairly common. It occurs when your airway becomes blocked repeatedly while you're sleeping, and it either gets completely blocked or partially blocked, and that creates snoring. It's estimated that about 25 million people in the U.S. currently suffer from it, yet about 80% of those don't even know they have it yet. Another way to look at the scope of the problem is that it's estimated that between 1 to 2 adults between the age of 30 and 70 have sleep apnea.
Now, does everybody who snores have sleep apnea?
A good question. So snoring and sleep apnea are not the same, but they are related. You can snore and not have sleep apnea, and you can have sleep apnea and not snore. Snoring is the result of tissues in your throat relaxing when you go to sleep, and they relax enough to partially block the airway and vibrate, causing the snoring. Loud, frequent snoring, on the other hand, is an indicator of sleep apnea, a chronic condition. It's characterized by pauses in breathing, shallow breathing. When people fall asleep, they can stop breathing for a few seconds up to a minute. Both snoring and sleep apnea are made worse or can be caused by obesity. Mm-hmm. They can be caused by a large tongue, enlarged tonsils. Aging can affect it, as well as the shape of your neck or the shape of your jaws.
Ugh. So it's a physical thing that somebody has. And does sleep position have anything to do with it, by the way?
Absolutely. Since it's caused by these tissues in your throat and often by the tongue falling back into the throat, people, when they're sleeping on their back, gravity does its job and pulls the tongue back. So people with snoring and sleep apnea are always going to find it's worse when they're sleeping on their back.
I think every partner who has a snorer or anyone with a snore in their house is used to poking and jogging them and trying to get them to roll a little bit to stop that.
Yep.
Yeah. So, all right. So now, what are some of the symptoms, though, if it is obstructive sleep apnea versus plain old good old snoring?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Yeah.
So as I mentioned, snoring is the most common symptom, but other important symptoms of sleep apnea are gasping during your sleep, awaking from your sleep, choking. Another big one is excessive daytime sleepiness. If you're dozing while you're at work, if you're living on caffeine, if you wake up with morning headaches or just a foggy, groggy feeling, even though you slept the normal amount of hours, chances are you could have obstructive sleep apnea.
So you're sleepy and groggy because you're not getting deep sleep during the night.
Exactly. You may spend the full 8 hours in bed, but because of the snoring and the sleep apnea, you don't get into that deep restful phase of sleep, or you get there and then wake yourself slightly out of it through the snoring.
Oh, that sounds absolutely awful. So, so all right. So if grogginess and lethargic behavior, et cetera, if it's a bad day after a bad night's sleep, what are some of the other things, though, that might be present?
Right. So there's a lot of problems that can come from sleep apnea. So think about it. If your airway is completely or partially blocked, your brain, your heart, the rest of your body just aren't getting enough oxygen, And because of that, sleep apnea contributes to a lot of conditions that are of concern, including high blood pressure, coronary artery disease. A big one is atrial fibrillation, congestive heart failure, type 2 diabetes, erectile dysfunction, asthma, Alzheimer's disease, GERD, and the big one, sudden death.
What was GERD?
GERD. GERD is gastroesophageal reflux disease.
Oh. So a litany of problems if you have untreated sleep apnea.
Absolutely. A lot of people in Philadelphia are familiar with the Eagles Hall of Famer, Reggie White. Reggie White died just 2 weeks after his 43rd birthday. And the official cause of his death was a cardiac arrhythmia or rhythm disorder. But the underlying cause was sleep apnea. It's very common in football players.
And is that because of their size?
Yes, absolutely. So, they have a large neck. The larger your neck and the more weight you carry, it presses on the airway and can cause constrictions in the airway.
Oh, so you can look perfectly fit and still have this problem.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's not just, typically we would think it was the obese person or the person with the 18-inch neck, but it's really not just that. There are people who, because they have a smaller jaw, in fact, the people we would describe as having a weak chin, where their jaw is set further back. Because if their jaw is set further back, their tongue is set further back too. It's as common in those people as in people with the 18-inch neck.
Okay, so it can be just physiological shape, and then it could also be weight and things like that.
Right. So on top of the problems of not getting enough oxygen that can cause the physical problems, there's other problems connected with it. There's a strong connection between lack of sleep and your immune system. So they've shown that if you're not getting enough sleep, people exposed to a virus like the common cold have a 200 to 300% higher chance of actually catching that cold if their immune system is compromised. Lack of sufficient sleep can cause problems with focus, mental clarity. A big one is the excessive daytime tiredness that can cause what we call drowsy driving.
Ooh.
That's a leading cause of vehicular accidents, and it's a real big one now with the National Transportation Safety Board. You read about these train operators with untreated sleep apnea falling asleep at the controls. So that can cause a problem. And then, of course, the other problem is with the problems you can have with your bed partner. Loud snoring can certainly cause relationship problems. So there's a litany of problems that can come from it.
Well, before the show began, I did confess that my reason for living has sleep apnea. And he can shake the foundation of a hotel, let alone our house. He has scared cats out of the room. It's bad. It is really a bad thing to hear him snore.
Yes. Yeah, it's sleep is one of these things that we spend a third of our lifetime sleeping, and for a long time, very little was even known about why we sleep or what happens during our sleep. Now we've done some more research. Some important things that happen while you're asleep that obviously don't happen if you're not getting the right amount of sleep is your brain consolidates the memories and the things we've learned during the day. It also gives your body an opportunity to repair, rejuvenate. Recent research has also shown that your brain actually clears out toxins that accumulate during the day while you're asleep. And in particular, one of those toxins is called beta amyloid. And beta amyloid forms these plaques in the brain. And these are the plaques that are commonly found in patients with Alzheimer's disease. So there's a long list of reasons why it's important that we get sleep.
Wow. You know what? So when we come right back, we're going to talk about who should be seeing a sleep specialist then, when we come back to Ask the Experts.
At EOS Dental Sleep, they recognize the importance of a good night's sleep. That's why they are dedicated to the treatment of snoring and sleep apnea. While the CPAP mask may be considered the gold standard of treatment for patients with sleep apnea, not every patient is compliant with CPAP. And of those who are CPAP compliant, many dread using the cumbersome equipment on a nightly basis. EOS Dental Sleep have found that many individuals respond better to alternative treatment treatments such as oral appliance therapy. A more attractive alternative to CPAP is a sleep apnea snoring appliance, which can make a huge difference in your life. It's been clinically proven to be highly effective in the treatment of patients with snoring and sleep apnea by preventing airway obstruction and facilitating easier breathing. Unlike CPAP, oral appliances are compact, easy to clean, quiet, and comfortable to use. EOS Dental Sleep is committed to improving their patients' quality of sleep and quality of life. Contact them today at 215-241-0700, and their website is www.eosdentalsleep.com.
And welcome back to Ask the Experts. Today, talking to Dr. Mark Levin of EOS Dental Sleep. And you heard how to contact him there. But now you just mentioned, if it doesn't cause Alzheimer's, it sure does give you symptoms of it no matter what. Problems with your relationships, sleepiness during the day. It sounds terrible. How do you know, though, that you should see a sleep specialist? At what point is no longer snoring, but you should see a specialist on it?
Good question. So if you snore loudly and frequently, or if, more importantly, if you wake up from your sleep gasping for air, or if perhaps your bed partner witnesses you stop breathing in your sleep, then you should see a sleep specialist. In addition, if you snore, and on top of snoring, you have any conditions like atrial fibrillation, type 2 diabetes, hypertension, or heart disease, you should see a sleep specialist. Because the sleep specialist can determine if it's just snoring or if you have sleep apnea. Having the right diagnosis is important to get the appropriate treatment. Obviously, sleep apnea is a serious health condition and requires treatment. But snoring also has its share of problems, causing untold numbers of couples who no longer can share a bedroom. The sleep specialist will review your history, your symptoms, and if appropriate, order a test.
Well, what does the test involve? How do you test for sleep apnea?
Okay, so there's two ways to test for sleep apnea. It's called a sleep test, okay?
I love the obvious.
Right, the traditional way was called a polysomnogram, or that was an overnight sleep test done in a hospital or in a sleep lab. It's extremely accurate, provides a lot of information. The alternative, which has become more common recently, is called the home sleep test. The difference is that's done in the comfort of your own home, in your own bed, under your natural sleeping conditions. Ultimately, both sleep tests, or both kinds of tests, the polysomnogram in the lab or the home sleep test, measure similar things. They measure your heart rate. Of course, they measure your breathing, any snoring. Importantly, they'll measure the level of oxygen in your blood as you sleep. They'll measure what position you sleep in, because certain positions will, as we talked about, will cause more problems. And then the results of those tests are read by a sleep physician and used to make an actual diagnosis.
Do you strap on a belt or something, or do you have electrodes pinned all over?
Yes, in the test done in the hospital or the sleep lab, there are a lot of different electrodes attached to your brain, different muscles. There's a tube that goes into your nose to measure your breathing. There's a belt that goes around your chest to measure the effort of breathing. There's a lot of parameters that are being measured. The test at home doesn't have quite as much armamentarium attached to it, but still gives important results.
I was going to say, when you're strapped down like that, how do you sleep naturally? Are they going to see what you really do at home?
It is a problem, and a lot of people, you know, complain about that. In addition, there's a camera that watches you while you're asleep, which can be a little unnerving to some people, too. So that's why a lot of people will opt for the home sleep test. But ultimately, the sleep physician will determine which test is best for each patient.
Okay. So now, once you've done that, how is it treated? How do you treat sleep apnea?
Okay. So most people are familiar with the traditional way, which was called CPAP. And CPAP is just an acronym. It stands for continuous positive airway pressure. You know, that involves wearing that face mask that reminds you of a fighter pilot in Top Gun, okay? CPAP's been around since the early 80s, It's considered the gold standard of treatment for sleep apnea and is extremely effective for patients who can tolerate it. CPAP works simply by keeping your airway open by blowing air into your nose and mouth and preventing your airway from collapsing.
And now my husband does have one, and it's a kit. I mean, he has a little suitcase thing, and it's a thing that he has to carry with him everywhere, and it has the motor that runs all night long, and he has to plug it in.
Right, and because there's, you know...
For someone who doesn't know what a CPAP is.
Yes, and even though it works really well, it's a bedside unit that sits on the nightstand. It has a hose that attaches to that fighter pilot mask. Some of the masks just go over the nose, some go over the nose and the mouth, but they all work the same way by blowing air in to prevent your natural airway from collapsing. But because of that fact, compliance is a problem. A lot of people find it difficult to use. Some people, can't adjust to that feeling of the air pressure. I had one patient describe it as, well, doc, you don't understand. It's like trying to fall asleep with your head out the window of a car doing 60 miles an hour. I kind of got the idea. Other problems, the list of reasons people can't use a CPAP is long. Claustrophobia is a big one. Nasal dryness, congestion, sore throat, irritation from the mask or the straps that hold the mask in place. You can also, if the mask isn't fitting exactly properly, you can get air leaks that'll blow air into the corners of your eyes. Some people just find it difficult to sleep as you're inhaling and exhaling while air is being forced in.
It's that strong a pressure?
It can be, depending on the severity of your sleep apnea. As I said, the mask, connects to this bedside unit. The bedside unit has a little bit of noise all of itself. And also, because you're attached to this mask, it makes mobility or moving around in bed difficult. It pretty much promotes sleeping on your back. And we've already discussed that sleeping on your back makes sleep apnea worse. Also, some people report that I wake up in the morning and the mask is on the other side of the bed or hanging off the nightstand. I didn't even realize it, but I tore it off in my sleep.
So they're a pain in the rear end anyway, and we've traveled and forgot a cord, and that is pure heck. So if these are all the problems with that, then what's the alternative?
So there are a couple different alternatives. There are some surgical procedures that are used, and in those procedures, they remove or reduce some of the structures in the back of the throat that cause the actual blockage. There's a newer therapy called hypoglossal nerve stimulation. It shows a lot of promise. There's a surgically implanted device, almost like a pacemaker, that monitors your breathing. And when it detects that you've stopped breathing, it sends an impulse to your tongue, causing your tongue to move forward, which opens the airway during your sleep. It's controlled, believe it or not, with a handheld remote, which you turn on and off before you go to bed, just like the television. But the least invasive non-surgical alternative treatment for sleep apnea is something called oral appliance therapy.
And what is that?
So, oral appliance, it's a small mouthpiece similar to a sports guard worn, by athletes. You wear it in your sleep. And the way it works is it holds your lower jaw slightly forward. And as we said before, the tongue is one of the culprits in sleep apnea. Fortunately, the tongue is attached to your lower jaw in the front of the mouth. So if we can pull that lower jaw slightly forward, for every amount we pull that tongue forward, we open up a corresponding amount of space in the back of the throat. So the CPAP we talked about is a pneumatic splint that keeps the airway open. The oral appliance is a mechanical splint. It's you know, each one is custom fabricated from molds we take of the patient's mouth. So it's comfortable. Because it doesn't require any hoses or masks or electrical wires, it's portable, easy to travel with. It doesn't require electricity. So if you have people who either travel to parts of the world where electricity is not always there, or if you're going camping, it's definitely an advantage not to have, not to need electricity. Also, we talked about the CPAP machine having a motor in it and hoses. The oral appliance, it's quiet. There is no electricity. There is no motor. Extremely easy to clean. There's no tubing that you have to disinfect. Most importantly, the oral appliances are effective.
And so how, what's the process for getting it? You said that you, it's just a, from a mold in the mouth. How do you fit them? How do you do this?
Okay, so you take impressions are made in the mouth, some other measurements. There are numerous types of oral appliances, so we pick the one that we think will work best for each patient. We send those molds to our laboratory with a prescription. The appliance comes back. We fit it, make sure that it's working. We follow it up with a sleep test. And you know, it's that simple.
And they come in with a prescription, and does Medicaid Medicare cover this, or medical insurance?
So, yeah, most do. It depends on the plan, of course, and every insurance plan is different. One of the things at EOS Dental Sleep that we specialize in is knowing how to get paid by these. So we are really good at medical billing because it is a medical, even though it's something you wear in your mouth, it's a medical, you know, falls under medical insurance. A lot of dental offices try to make oral appliances, but because they don't have the experience with medical billing, they can't get paid for the patient through their medical insurance.
You've been doing this a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been doing this for over 10 years at this point.
10 years. Well, we'll get back to that when we return to Ask the Experts.
At EOS Dental Sleep, they recognize the importance of a good night's sleep. That's why they are dedicated to the treatment of snoring and sleep apnea. While the CPAP mask may be considered the gold standard of treatment for patients with sleep apnea, not every patient is compliant with CPAP. And of those who are CPAP compliant, many dread using the cumbersome equipment on a nightly basis. EOS Dental Sleep have found that many individuals respond better to alternative treatments such as oral appliance therapy. A more attractive alternative to CPAP is a sleep apnea snoring appliance, which can make a huge difference in your life. It's been clinically proven to be highly effective in the treatment of patients with snoring and sleep apnea by preventing airway obstruction and facilitating easier breathing. Unlike CPAP, oral appliances are compact, easy to clean, quiet, and comfortable to use. EOS Dental Sleep is committed to improving their patients' quality of sleep and quality of life. Contact them today at 215-241-0700, and their website is www.eosdentalsleep.com.
We're back to Ask the Experts today, talking to Dr. Mark Levin. And just before we cut away, I had alluded to Medicare. What about patients who are on Medicare?
So Medicare does cover the oral appliance. We happen to be at EOS Dental Sleep. We are an approved Medicare provider, which means we can get coverage for people with Medicare.
Oh, and so again, do we have to have a prescription when we walk in, or do we come to you when we know we're having, when we've had our sleep test?
Once we get the sleep test, we usually get the prescription at the same time.
Okay, so what should somebody expect when they come in to see you? How does the procedure go?
Okay, so the first thing, they're going to come in, they're going to get a really thorough examination. We're going to go over their sleep patterns, their snoring. They're also going to get an education. We're going to spend a lot of time with their medical history, their sleep study. And if they haven't had a sleep study, we'll go over how to get one so they can get that correct diagnosis. If they've tried CPAP and couldn't use it, we'll go over why didn't they like it, what didn't work for them. We're going to look at their teeth, we'll look at their airway, we'll examine their jaw joint, their TMJ as we call it. And once we've done all that, we'll determine if they're a candidate for treatment with an oral appliance and which oral appliance we think will work best in their situation. At that point, if they're ready to move forward with treatment, we can get started by taking the impressions of the teeth. And as I described before, those will go out to the laboratory, the The appliance will come back. We'll fit it. There'll be some follow-ups. We'll make sure that their symptoms have improved. And importantly, these appliances are adjustable. So based on the feedback we get at those follow-up visits, we can make adjustments to optimize the benefits that they're going to get.
And what are the benefits you're going to get?
You're going to – first off, you're not going to get elbowed by your spouse in your sleep. You're going to feel better in the morning. You're not going to be you're not going to be foggy. You're going to have more energy through the day. And more importantly, your brain, your heart, and everything else are going to be getting enough oxygen while you sleep.
Now, okay, so who should pick up the phone and call you?
Anybody who we see patients from a couple categories. Snoring that's causing problems. People who've been previously diagnosed with obstructive sleep apnea and either didn't get treated or tried CPAP, couldn't use CPAP. Any of those people.
So a spouse should pick up the phone and call you right away.
We often get, that's the first person who often calls is the spouse.
You know we got a minute left. You really are passionate about this. So why?
I
suspect you've got it.
Right. Real quick, yeah. Yeah, there's a reason I'm excited. About 10 years ago, my snoring worsened to the point that the windows would vibrate. My kids could hear me down the hall through closed bedroom doors. My wife's sleeping was disrupted. It was a problem. I was sleeping 8 hours, but I was tired. If I was driving home in traffic, stop and go at a traffic light, I might be awakened by the horn behind me. So I knew that there was a problem. I got tested and sure enough found out that I had mild sleep apnea. So I looked into the alternatives, and when I learned about CPAP, I thought, maybe the last week of my life, you can connect me to a breathing machine, but not for the rest of my life. And that's when I discovered oral appliances were an option. I learned about oral appliances. Importantly, oral appliances can only be made by dentists, and fortunately, I'm a dentist. So I was my first patient, and it was a huge success. My snoring was gone, my energy level came back to normal, and the bruises on the ribs from my wife's elbows even disappeared. Since then, I've treated over 1,000 people using this, and it's extremely rewarding. I'll just share with you quickly one reason I'm so passionate. I got an email from a patient the other morning, the night after she got her appliance, and she says, "Hey, doc, I know it's just one night, but my husband said, baby, that thing is a miracle, and I feel rested when I wake up. Mind you, I've had 2 sleep studies, I've had my tonsils out, my palate trim, and tried CPAP twice, so I wasn't that hopeful. But he said all he heard was some normal heavy breathing. It was so nice to have him next to me when I woke up. Thank you so much. I hope every night is like last night."
What a way to end it. And of course, we've been talking to Dr. Mark Levin. If you want to reach out to him, eosdentalsleep.com. Call him at 215-241-0700. Dr. Levin, thank you for coming in today.
And thank you.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Ask the Experts.
Thanks for listening to the Ask the Expert show today. Join us again next week for more specialists in their field of legal health, financial, and home improvement.